And we are going to do a study on wisdom. Now, I like to do one of these every year because I find that the book of Proverbs has so much great information for a Christian trying to grow in their faith and to walk after Jesus, that I like to do a series in Proverbs every year. And the way that I do this is that I'll take a chapter. In this particular case, it's Proverbs chapter 10. Read it, study it, and see what God has to say to Christians out of that particular chapter. Now, Proverbs is broken down in a way that most of the other books are not broken down. Most of the other books in the Bible are written in story form or letter form, so there's a linear, you know, fashion to it. You read it from start to beginning, and, you know, the next thing feeds on the first thing, and so on and so forth. There's an order to it. Well, Proverbs is not really like that. Proverbs, you might read one verse in Proverbs, and then the next verse has nothing really to do with the verse before it, right? So what I like to do is I like to break down a chapter and say, what all is God trying to speak to my heart from this chapter? And then I can break that up into themes. And I find that a lot of these chapters have themes. Well, one of the themes is going to be the way that we use our mouths. The way that we use our mouths in Proverbs chapter 10. So the title of our entire series is called A Little What? Goes a Long Way. Look at the person next to you and say, A Little Wisdom Goes a Long Way. It goes a long way. So we're going to study in Proverbs 10. Caitlin, if you can bring up our main idea. Repeat this after me. Use a little wisdom when you speak. It's real simple. It's real easy to get your head around. The stuff that we're going to study today in Proverbs chapter 10 revolves around how you speak. How you speak. What comes out of your mouth. Now, while the Bible says a ton about this subject, Proverbs chapter 10 has probably 6 or 7 verses out of just that one chapter that speak to how we use our mouths. So today, use a little wisdom when you speak. Let's bring up our first one, Caitlin. We're going to go through the scriptures. Now, if you're in Proverbs chapter 10, you can keep up, no problem. You'll probably be able to pick these out real easy, but the scriptures are also on your notes, and they're also on the screen, so no excuse for not following along. The first one we're going to read is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to a lot of you. I know you read it and go, what does that mean? We're going to discuss it in just a second. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of what? Words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Caitlin, let's take a look at the next one. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has what kind of lips? Lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a what? See, when the Bible calls you a fool, it's okay. I'm not going to do it, but if the Bible does it, we're good with it. Right, Miss Jennifer? All right, so whoever spreads slander is a fool. Let's take a look at the next one, Caitlin. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is what? Worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 10, 20 through 21. This is all out of chapter 10. Let's take a look at the next one. The mouth of the righteous brings forth what? Wisdom. But the perverse tongue will be cut out. You don't hear those verses preached a lot, do you? The perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is what? Perverse. Now, as I studied that word perverse, we'll get into this in just a second. It doesn't mean what you probably think it means. So we'll get into that in a minute. We'll discuss it. But it says the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. All right, Caitlin, let's take a look at the next one. The mouth of the righteous is a what? Well of life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:11. All right, Caitlin, the next one. All right, this brings us to our first point this morning. And what I've done is I've broken up these points and we're going to connect them to a verse. You follow me? All those verses we just read, we're going to go back each time and we're going to discuss those. Now, the first thing that I found in Proverbs chapter 10 is that you don't want to be a person who talks too much. You don't want to be a person who talks too much. Now, a lot of you are thinking, well, you know, when people talk a lot and they're real chatty, it gets on my nerves. But I can't see why it's sinful, right? I mean, what's the big deal if a person talks a lot? Yet the Scripture teaches us in Proverbs 10:14 and Proverbs 10:19 that you don't want to be one of these people who talk too much. Let's take a look at those Scriptures. Caitlin, if you can bring up 10:14 and 10:19, that should be the first slide. Wise people do what with knowledge? All right, so if someone else is talking, someone else is talking to you, instead of interrupting, instead of always giving your opinions or your ideas or your two cents, you listen and you store up knowledge. Are you following the Scripture? You store up knowledge. So wise people store up knowledge. That's another way of saying wise people listen. They listen more than they talk. Okay? Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So it's talking about this fool. They're not listening a lot, right? They're always talking, but never listening. And that means never learning, right? They're always talking, never listening, never learning, never storing up knowledge. And it says their mouth is near what? It's near destruction. All right. And then in Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. So the more words that come out of your mouth, the greater the odds are that you're going to sin in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, let me explain this to you. Caitlin, you bring up this picture. Everybody here is familiar with this. Some of you wish you were more familiar with it, especially the hunters out there. But let me tell you a story about when April and I were first married. When April and I were first married, she was going to college at University of Arkansas at Monticello. And after that, she got a job in Monticello as an elementary school teacher. Then I started to go to college in Monticello. So Billy, every single day, we would get in our little Mazda 323. How many of you remember that little blue car we had, little hatchback? You remember how beat up it was on the front and dented up? Well, there's a reason for that. And you're looking at it, right? Every single day, Monday through Friday, we got up and we drove from Granderson Road in Kingsland all the way to Monticello and back. And then we still did the normal stuff that we did, going to the grocery store, coming to church, to and from, picking kids up, all that sort of stuff. Now, Mike, in the time that we have been out of college and both of us have worked in this area, April, how many deer have we hit? Zero. I preached on faith all last month, sweetie. We will not hit a deer. We have not hit one single deer since we have lived in this area and drove just around here. But when we both had to go to Monticello every single day, the chances of us hitting a deer went way up. And we hit probably, what, three or four deer during that time? I mean, it completely obliterated the front of our car to the point where we didn't even take it to the body shop anymore, right? We're going to hit one next week, so who cares? So the idea is that the more often you do something, the greater the chance of having a certain consequence happen comes up, right? So if you drive a long distance every single day, the chances of you hitting a deer are far greater than somebody who only drives a few miles to work. You follow me? The same exact thing happens with your mouth. A person who hardly says anything has very little chance of committing a sin with what they say. Common sense or what? Right? Pretty simple stuff. But the more you talk, the more opportunity there is for sin to slip in. Now, I want you guys to put your heads together this morning, and I want you to tell me some of the ways that you could sin with your mouth. The things that you say, how could you sin with your mouth? Anybody? There's a big one, okay? The more you talk and the more people you talk to, the harder it is not to talk about somebody else. Have you ever noticed that? The harder it is not to talk about somebody else. So if you talk a lot this morning, the odds are a lot of what you talk about is gossip. Okay, give me another one. All right, you could tear somebody down. So if you're one of those people who talk all the time, there's a greater chance that you're also one of those people who, when you talk, you tear somebody else down with what you say. All right, something else. All right. Okay, so you're one of those kind of whiny, blah, 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 people that's always down, and everything's always bad, blah. And you walk in, and when you start talking, everybody goes, oh, life really does stink. So-and-so is so right. Right? So the more often you talk, the greater the chances are that you're one of those negative people, right? You walk in a room and it deflates. Another one. All right? You get in trouble with what you say? What about lying? How many of you, listen, I mean, I'm not talking about like this big nefarious lie, like you got it all planned out. I'm saying, Ken, I went out and harvested squash in my garden the other day. And I got a squash that big! Alright, so how many of you, you've heard somebody, the more they talk, the bigger the fish gets. You ever heard that story? So sometimes when you see someone who talks a lot, they're always talking, they're always making things bigger than they really are, and they're exaggerating everything. Well, folks, we got a word for that. It's called a lie. And you just committed a sin with your mouth. So there are lots of ways where if your mouth is constantly moving, you can sin and sometimes not even recognize what you're doing. So the first bit of wisdom today is that you don't want to be one of these people who's always talking. You want to take some time to do what? Listen. Because as a Christian, that's how we grow. That's how we're fed. That's how we hear from the Lord. How many of you are so chatty that even when you pray to God, you don't even listen? You say, I prayed and I never hear from God. Well, do you ever shut up? I mean, that's the truth. Most of us think praying to God is just talking to God constantly, all the time. But you know, we're supposed to listen for God as well. So sometimes we have to stop talking and listen, whether that's to other people or whether that's to the Holy Spirit. So Christians, we don't want to be one of those people who talks too much. Let's take a look at the next one, Caitlin. I think I got a picture. Now, what are these two ladies doing? We talked about it. Gossiping. The Bible calls slandering somebody else. They're tearing someone else down, talking about someone else's business behind their back. And a lot of this gossip is not what you would call lighthearted gossip. A lot of it is meant to shock and awe you, right? Like, I've got this juicy little tidbit and you gotta hear it, because when you hear it, and then you know what's behind, you're not gonna believe it. You're not gonna believe that Billy did that. You're not gonna believe that Gloria did that. You're not gonna believe that Jack did it. Let me tell you what Miss Kim did. See, the Bible calls that gossip and it calls it slander. And the Bible's very specific about Christians not having anything to do with gossip and slander. And in Proverbs 10, it backs this up. Let's take a look at this scripture, Caitlin. Or take a look at the next point. A person who refuses to speak their mind to someone's face, but instead slanders them behind their back. So Christians, you don't want to be one of these people who refuses to speak their mind to someone's face, but instead slanders them to their back. Bring up Proverbs 10:18. Caitlin, bring up Proverbs 10:18. Whoever does what? Hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now let me explain to you how this scripture works. Let's say I don't like my mother-in-law very much. Now, you know that's not really true. I love her very much. But let's say that I don't, for the argument, okay? I don't like my mother-in-law very much, and let's just say I got some real issues with you. But instead of saying, you talk too much, and every time I listen to you, you get on my nerves. I don't even like how your voice sounds. I can't stand it when you're around. Instead of doing that, I go over here to Jamie and I say, Jamie, my mother-in-law really stinks, man. Every time she's around, she gets on my nerves and I can't stand. Oh. But see, here's the thing, folks, is most of us are comfortable with the idea of talking about somebody behind their back. Because we really want to air those grievances. We're really upset about something. We're really angry. We really have some problems. So we're comfortable with telling other people. But what we're not comfortable with is going somebody, looking them straight in the eyes and saying, I got a problem with you and we need to talk about that. And we need to pray together because I don't want to feel this way anymore. Amen, church? Now I want you to think about how often you have slandered somebody or gossiped about somebody versus the time you walked up to somebody and said, I got a problem with you. I got a problem with you. And maybe it's me, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just the devil trying to lead me down the wrong path, but I have a problem and we need to work this out because I don't want to feel this way. If you balanced out the times in your life where you've actually done that versus the times that you've talked about them behind their back, which would win? Behind their back every time. Probably almost everybody here. And I want you to see what Proverbs 10 says. It says, whoever hides hatred has what? You're a liar. I want you to understand that. You are sinning when you do this because you are refusing to tell the truth to that person. If you have a problem with a person, you need to tell them. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong, or they're right or wrong. None of that stuff matters. It matters that you're honest about it, and that you let it out, and you let them know you have the problem. I'm not saying the problem gets resolved. I'm saying you're honest about the problem, and you tell it to their face, so that you're not hiding hatred, so that you don't have lying lips. It says, whoever spread slander is a what? Is a fool. Don't talk about them behind their back. Say it to their face. If you're a Christian, you don't want to be one of those people who says things behind people's backs and refuses to say it to their face. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's take a look at the next one. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 31 through 32. A person who is obstinate, you know anybody like that? Or set in speaking things that are wrong or rejecting what is right. Or rejecting what is right. Now, first thing is let's take a look at the scripture. Before we look at the picture, Caitlin, bring up Proverbs 31 through 32. 10, 31 through 32. It says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth what? Wisdom. But the perverse tongue will be cut out. Now, most people, when they see this word perverse, probably think it means like perverted, you know, like morally depraved. What it really means, perverse, it means that you're obstinate or you're set in wrong thinking. Okay? And in this context, it means that when you talk, you're constantly spewing forth things that are wicked or wrong, and no matter what anybody says to you, no matter what evidence they bring to the table, you will stick to your guns no matter what. Even if you're wrong. Some of the wives here going, my husband, so like that. Stop laughing, April. But the truth is, there's a little bit of this in probably everybody, right? Probably a little bit of this in everybody. But what we want to steer clear of, Christians, is this attitude that everything that we believe is right all the time, and we don't hear anything that anyone else says, and learn from it or grow from it. Because I got news for you. Sometimes you're wrong. Shocking, right? No gasp from the crowd. How dare you say I'm wrong? Sometimes you're wrong. Look at the person next to you and say, sometimes you're wrong. Hey, April, sometimes you're wrong. Now, don't get too personal, okay? We don't want to start any fights here. But the idea behind this scripture is that there are some people who, even when they're wrong, even when people can prove that they're wrong, they stick to their guns, and that's wickedness. That's evil, okay? Especially when the thing that they're wrong about is unrighteous. Let's take a look at the rest of it. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse or what is wrong, and they're going to stick to it. That's what that word means. Now, I got a picture for you, Caitlin, if you can bring this picture up. Now, I hope you don't have squeamish stomachs. I hope that I don't hurt anybody's feelings with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it whether you like it or not. To kill unborn children is a sin. It's wrong. It's always going to be wrong. It'll never be right. There's no way to justify it. You can't get around it, okay? This is wrong. Now, there are people in the world who are so perverse, not perverted, perverse, in wrong thinking, okay, that there's nothing you can tell them, nothing you can show them. There is no way for you to prove to them that this thing is right. They're always going to believe it's wrong. So there are people who defend abortion, even though the babies who are aborted can grab the fingers of the doctors that are taking them out. Now, folks, if you ever wanted proof that a child is an actual human being, what more do you need than that? People don't even treat monkeys that way. People treat animals better than they treat these babies. These babies are dying. They're being murdered. That's the truth. Amen? That's the truth. But someone who has that perverse heart will debate somebody that that's not a child. That's not even a baby. It's not a baby unless it's so many months old, right? It's not a baby unless this is developed or that's developed. Well, I tell you what that is. That's perverse thinking. It's wrong thinking. And people who stick to ideas like that, even when they have proof, evidence. I'm not even bringing up the Bible here. I'm just showing you a real picture of a real baby. Now, you see the boy under here? Now, this baby, by today's laws, is viable for abortion. Okay, they would say this child at that age could be aborted and it's not a baby. Okay? Today, that's the little boy. See him down there holding his little awards? You tell me that that wasn't a baby. That wasn't a child. That wasn't a human being. You following? Now, don't get too stuck. I know this is an emotional example. But I want you to understand that sometimes you're wrong. And people who stick to their guns, even when the clear proof, the clear evidence shows you otherwise, that's a sin. And Proverbs speaks against this type of perverse speech. So even to debate somebody on an issue like this is sinful because it's just not true. Are you following me? Follow me. Okay, so if you're a Christian, you can go back to the point, Caitlin. It's point three. If you're a Christian this morning, you don't want to be a person who is obstinate or set in speaking things that are what? Wrong or rejecting what is right. That's perverse speech and that's sinful. We don't want to be that way. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Now, let's take a look at number four. A person who uses their mouth for violence to attack someone else. Now, a lot of you are thinking, well, that's really not that big a deal. Why is this a problem? Proverbs 10:11. Bring that up, Caitlin. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a what? Now, if it's a well of life, what is it doing? It's building up. It's nourishing, right? There's life coming out of this. If your mouth is a well of life, then you bring joy and happiness and strength and encouragement, right? That's what's coming out of your mouth all the time. It says, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. That means when a wicked person says things, because remember Jesus says what's in your heart comes out where? Comes out of your mouth, right? So that's the way a wicked person brings violence from their mouth. That means what they say is destructive and hurtful and it tears people down, right? I want you to take a look at this statistic. Caitlin, can you bring the statistic up I've got? I checked on the Shalva Clinic. It's a counseling clinic. I found it online, and they posted the average calls that they get for abuse. Okay, they talk to abuse victims. It's kind of like a hotline. And they said out of all the people who call their hotline, 86% call because of verbal abuse. 86% of the people who call their counseling hotline call because of verbal abuse. Do you want to know how many call because of physical or sexual abuse? Take a guess. 12%. 12%. So very, very few people call for that. But 86% of the people who feel abused by what someone said. Now, Christians, I know I don't have to go too far down this road. I know you already get where I'm going with this. But let's take a look at our scripture again, if you can bring it up, Caitlin. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Now, Christians, are we supposed to have a righteous mouth or a wicked mouth? A righteous mouth. So our mouths need to be wells of life. They do not need to be filled with violence. If you're a Christian this morning, and this little bit of wisdom from Proverbs 10 is going to go a long way, you need to understand that your mouth shouldn't be filled with violence. The things that you say to other people should not be hurtful or destructive. They should build others up. Amen? Amen. Everybody follow me this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, a little bit of wisdom goes a long way. You know, there's going to be one I'm going to do. It talks about being teachable. Are you able to hear what someone says and actually learn it and do it? Well, today, you need to do that. Today, we need to be responsive to what Proverbs chapter 10 has taught us and understand the way a Christian is supposed to use their mouth versus the way they're not supposed to use their mouth. Let's end with this. Caitlin, I want you to bring this up. My very last slide. Christians should have what? Wise, restrained, righteous, and productive tongues. This is compared in Proverbs 10 to what? Choice silver or a well of life. It is a tongue that brings strength and encouragement to others. Now, I love the way the Bible uses examples like choice silver. Folks, what is choice silver? What is the implication there? Huh? It's the best. It's valuable. It's precious. Right? So when we speak, the words that come out of our mouth, the way that we talk to other people should be like choice silver. It should be the best that we can possibly offer. It should bring value. It should be a treasure to the people who hear it. Amen? It should be a well of life. It shouldn't be all of those other things that we discussed in our sermon. Now, I know that this is a broad sermon. This is one of those sermons that hits probably everybody somewhere. Amen? I mean, everybody here got hit somewhere by something that was said today. So what I want to ask you to do is real simple. It's real simple. If you know you're one of those people and what's come out of your mouth has not been choice silver, it's not been a well of life, there are times where it has been destructive and violent, there are times where it has been obstinate, you know, and perverse. There are times where you know the things that have come out of your mouth have not been what God wants. Right now, the wise thing to do is to repent. Confess that sin. Ask God to forgive you. And ask Him to give you the strength to never, ever do it again. Amen? Ask Him for the strength that you can start using your mouth to build others up instead of tear them down. So, I'm going to ask Jamie to come up this morning, and I also want to let you know that as I have a lot of hope that everyone in the congregation this morning is a saved child of God, this message really is for you, okay? If you know Jesus and you're trying to grow in your faith, but you know that you've been struggling in this area, hey, confess it, repent, get stronger, get closer to Jesus. But there might be some of you today, you're just convicted of sin, right? You're just convicted flat out, I've been sinning and I need Jesus in my life. I know that the way I've talked to others, the way I've treated others, with the way that I speak has been wrong. And I've not been forgiven for that at all. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me. Today is a day for you to confess that sin, to repent of that sin, and to come to Jesus for your salvation. Amen? So I give you that opportunity today.